Hi there, my name is Kelsey, and this is Souls Searched, which is a diary of sorts where I discuss my dating history and hopefully try to learn something from it. Hopefully you can learn something too. I hope, at the very least, it's entertaining. So today, we will be picking up where we left off on the story of Adam. So this is part two. I will probably make it three parts. So the first part was before I moved to Dallas, and this part will be when I moved to Dallas and the disaster that ensued. And the third part will probably be my second time moving to Dallas. So where we last left off was when Adam had moved to Dallas. He flew out and I dropped him off at the airport. I came home and I cried on a pile of his shirts. It's about as pathetic as it sounds. So that was at the end of November. And then I told him that I was planning to visit him in December, at the end of December for New Year's. But in the meantime, I had I wasn't sure what was happening with Adam. You know, he had just moved across the country. I had no intention of really going to Dallas beyond just that one visit. And even when I decided to go out there and visit him for New Year's, it was more out of curiosity. It wasn't a genuine interest to live in Dallas or be in Dallas. I just kind of wanted to see what it was all about. Adam and his friends and pretty much everyone he knew in the Seattle area were all from Texas, so I had heard a lot about it, and I just kind of wanted to see what it was all about. In mid-December, I had another date with Ross. Again, Adam and I were in this kind of weird space where we were talking to each other, but, you know, neither of us really wanted a relationship. We were both seeing other people leading up to that, so I didn't really see any issue with continuing to date other people. So mid-December, I had a date with Ross, and, you know, we went out to like a open mic, I know, but it was a music open mic, not a comedy open mic. And he performed with his friend and they did like a banjo band and, you know, played a song that they had written together. On the next weekend, my work had a Christmas party. You know, originally I'd wanted Adam to go with me, but since he was in Dallas now, it didn't quite work out, and he hadn't started his new job yet, so he was just basically at home, super broke, and just, you know, couldn't really come out. So I ended up taking Ross to the party, which was hosted at a local zoo, so it was actually really cool. I took Ross as, like, my plus one to this work party at the zoo. And then a couple days, actually, I think it was the next weekend after that, I went to Aaron's party, which is where I met Ian. And then a few days after that, I went to Ian's Christmas party, where we hung out and my car got broken into. So it was just like a bunch of stuff had happened basically between Adam moving to Dallas and me going to visit him in Dallas again, right? So, December 30th rolls around and I flew out to DFW. My dad was real sick at this time. He had been for months at this point. And so, you know, I went to go visit my dad before I left, and, he wasn't doing great. So I was hoping that in the week I was in Dallas that, you know, nothing major would happen and there wouldn't be a, you know, huge decline from that. But I was in Dallas for almost 2 weeks, I believe. I flew to Dallas and he picked me up at the airport. I was so excited to see him. I like grabbed, I had my bag, like my carry-on bag that I had with me, and I like saw him, and he like made me this like little sign, you know, picking me up at the airport, and he had like brought me cookies, and like I like threw my bag to the side and like grabbed him and hugged him, and it was very, very sweet. And then he brought me out to his car in the parking lot, and then we drove to his parents' house, and then like I met his parents, and we went to Whataburger, and like he basically took me on this tour of like downtown Dallas the next day. So we went to like the art museum, and like I almost got thrown out of the art museum because I couldn't stop touching stuff. And I just, you know, generally made a real ass of myself. There was a point where I accidentally set off an alarm on, you know, one of the displays because I touched it. I wouldn't leave shit alone. And he was getting so upset with me. And we went to like Thanksgiving Square, which is like this kind of like reflective, like, spiritual area. And they have this like little temple. It's really cool. If you're ever in downtown Dallas, I would definitely recommend you check it out. But, you know, we just kind of, like, traipsed around downtown and, you know, went to a couple, like, really well-known restaurants in Dallas. Like, we went to this place called Pecan Lodge. Pecan Lodge? I don't know. I'm told I'd say it incorrectly. But anyway, it's, like, a really good barbecue place. It's, like, the number two barbecue place in Dallas. So we went there. You know, we just went to like a bunch of different places, like White Rock Lake, which is this really pretty outdoor area around this man-made like lake or reservoir. You know, and we went to, you know, this park in downtown, which has these like running bull statues. Like it was just really, really cool. We spent a lot of time downtown. So New Year's Eve rolls around, right? And so we go out to this bar called The Grand. At least it used to be called The Grand. It's like a really sketchy place. Like, it's one of the few places in Dallas where you can smoke indoors, right? So it's like, it's really like grungy, like, yeah, grimy place, like where you may not want to set your drink down. Like, there's just like a bunch of like scummy people that hang around there. But like Adam and his friends, like that's kind of like their stomping grounds. And like, I guess someone like got stabbed there. Like, it's like not a great place to be, but for some reason I love that place. Maybe it's just like the charm of it, but whatever. So Adam took me to The Grand, and it was on New Year's Eve. So it was like him and a bunch of his friends were all hanging out. And like, I had a few drinks. I don't really ever drink. So for one, it's like rare for me to drink. It's like on very, very special occasions. But like I drank a bit too much, and like, I was like getting real loosey goosey. There was a girl that I was kind of crushing on that I was dancing with. And then like, it was like some dude, I don't know if it was her boyfriend or her partner, but like he was trying to like cut in on us dancing, and we were like dancing, having a good time. And you know, Adam was hanging out with his friends. I wasn't too concerned with that. And like I mean, she was probably on something. Like, she was just very, like, affectionate and, like, you know, very handsy. And, like, I didn't mind. The dude was trying to, like, get up in our business, and I was not having that. But, like, there was a point where Adam, like, pulled me off the dance floor, and he was just like, hey, like, listen, those people are not, those are, you know, they're trying to have a threesome with you. And then I was like, what? I couldn't wrap my head around that concept. And it was funny because like Adam was like, hey, I know you're really drunk right now, but I need you to listen. Like, and I was like kind of all over the place, and he was like, you know, like grabbing my face like gently and was like, listen to me. I've been talking to my friends. They he was like, hey, focus up. Like I mean, like I was like kind of gone. But he was like, I was talking to my friends. Kelsey, listen, I was talking to my friends. They were saying how wonderful you are. And they were asking me why I'm not with you. And I didn't really have a good answer for them. And he was like, hey, listen, hey, I'm trying to tell you something. And I was just like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And like, was trying to kind of go back to dancing with this girl. And he was like, no, listen, like, I want to be in a relationship with you. And I was like, this is not the time. And I don't know if it was because he saw me like kind of vibing with that girl and potentially that guy, but for whatever reason, he decided that was the time where he wanted to kind of break this to me, right? Like where he wanted to have this conversation. Again, I wasn't sober. Like, I was very much not sober, and I was like, let's talk about this when we're both sober, right? And, you know, he was just like, but I want to be with you, like, I don't want anyone else, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's talk about this later. And, like, just in general, I get really uncomfortable with the idea of relationships, and there had been, you know, up to that point, we were kind of, like, not exclusive with each other and like not in a relationship, and like we were seeing each other casually, and I liked it that way, and I wasn't sure if I really wanted to be in a relationship. I just got out of a really horrible relationship before I met Adam, so like, you know, we'd been seeing each other for about like 6 months at that point, but there was also like a whole month before that where I hadn't seen him. I'd been talking to him, but you know, like it wasn't anything really serious to me. Like, I liked him. God, I loved him. But, like, I just at that point wasn't really ready for a relationship, especially a long-distance one. And he was living in Dallas, and I was living in Seattle. And it just didn't seem like the time to really jump into it, right? But I was also really drunk and couldn't, like, articulate that. So I was like, let's talk about this when we're sober, right? And, like, I was wearing this dress that was, like, kind of short, and it had two-way sequins, like mermaid sequins, so like I would like talk to people and show them my dress and like run my hand up and down it, and like, which invited like strangers, especially drunk girls in the bathroom, to like run their hands on my dress, and they were all super fascinated with it. I made like a lot of friends that night. And there were like a lot of guys like hitting on me, and like, you know, girls too, but so like it just didn't seem like the time to really be going for that, you know? But anyway, so like, you know, we were still hanging out and like dancing and things like that. And, you know, Adam wasn't much of a dancer. He was kind of like there, like playing with pool with his friends and like socializing. But like, I got him to come out like a little bit onto the dance floor, and it was just really fun. We were having a really good time. And you know, I was just really feeling the situation. So, you know, midnight comes and goes, and then like, there's a point where the bar is like kind of closing up, and you know, Adam and his friends are like, hey, let's keep this party going. So we go to this like a guitar store that like one of his friends owned, and then we're there and we're all just hanging out, and like, as far as I know, it's real chill, right? We're just in this like really cool like specialty vintage guitar shop in Dallas somewhere, and you know, we like literally broke in. Like, the guy was there, but like, we had to like jump a fence, and like, it was a whole crazy deal. And then like, and we're still like kind of buzzed and things like that. So we all took like Ubers over there and stuff. But, you know, there's a point where one of his friends like busts out coke, and like, I'm super straight edge. Like, I don't really even drink that often. I sometimes occasionally will participate in cannabis culture. You know, only in states where it's legal, but still, you know, it's just, it's not really my bag to kind of experiment with that kind of stuff. I try to stay away from it. But Adam, you know, that was, you know, we had talked about it previously, how his friends were kind of into doing coke and things like that. And, you know, I hadn't really seen it, you know, he'd kind of kept it from me. Like when we were hanging out at the bar, his friend had told me a story about how he like brought him, like, a key, I guess. And he was like, hey, I got some coke for you. And then, like, he had, like, a little baggie, but he meant, like, you can do a key bump. But he, like, did the whole bag. And his friend was like, isn't that a funny story? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. Like, you're telling me that he not only did coke still and was hanging around these people that were obviously into it, but he did, like, a lot of coke, right? So at that point, I was just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, didn't really know what to do with that information. But I had never really been around him doing it, right? Like, they'd gone to the bathroom a few times, so, like, I assumed that's what they were doing in there. And, like, he was being a little more, like, talkative and chatty, and, like, it kind of all came together once that person brought out drugs, right? So it was a friend of his, like, Dr. Nate, I think is his name. He's not a real doctor, spoiler alert. But so Dr. Nate was like, hey girl, you gonna do coke with us? And I was like, oh, I don't think so. That's not really my thing, you know, like, trying to, like, politely get out of it. And I was like, I have a heart condition, like, I really shouldn't. And Dr. Nate, at this point, unbuttons his shirt and shows me this heart surgery scar, like, a really jacked up one. So he's probably had a few, just judging by the way it looked. He's like, oh, I had a heart condition too, and I still do coke, so you'll be fine. Dr. Nate prescribes it, and then, like, everybody laughs, and I was like, who is this dude, you know? But whatever. So they had coke kind of, like, you know, they were lining up and trying to get ready to do it, and, like, Adam was like, are you gonna do it? And I was like, oh, I don't think so. And, like, I was like, clearly was uncomfortable with it, right? And then Adam was like, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And he, like, kind of pressured me into it. So I did, like, probably half of a bump, like a baby bump, like, really, really small amount. Honestly, I didn't really feel anything. So I really don't think I did enough for it to really kick in. So I was, like, basically sober. I refused to do any more at that point because I was just so scared in that situation. But, like, you know, I did a little bit. It's not like I'm anti-drugs. It's just there's some shit I don't want to mess with, you know. But still, you know, I felt really pressured and uncomfortable in that situation. And Adam, like, you know, he did the first couple bumps, and I was like, okay, whatever, he's with his friends. And then he, like, kept doing it. Like, there were, like, he did a bunch of coke that night. And I was just, like, sitting there, like, sober, hanging out. But, like, it's kind of weird when you're the only one, like, sober, you know. And by then my buzz had worn off. So, like, I'm just watching people be very, very chatty, be very, like, kind of aggressively chatty and, like, at me. Like, they weren't talking to me, they were talking at me. And there was a point, it was, like, you know, 5 or 6 in the morning, where I was like, Adam, like, I'm tired, can we go? And he was like, oh, why don't you just do some more and then you'll stay up? And I was like, I don't want to do any more. Like, I didn't even want to do the first one. Like, I'm not comfortable with this, can we go? And there was a point where, you know, I called an Uber, and, you know, since we were, like, in this, like, complex, basically, we had to, like, jump over another fence to, like, get our Uber and everything and go back to my hotel. So we get back, and, like, as we're getting back to the hotel, like, they're serving breakfast because we'd been out all night, right? So, and then we go into the hotel, and, like, we take a nap for a couple. Well, first we get some food, we get some breakfast, and then we go and, you know, nap for a bit. Well, at least I did, because I was tired. But, like, I think Adam was still kind of coming down from it, so he wasn't quite at that point yet. I want to say we had sex, but I can't, because, you know, there are certain things you can and cannot do while under that kind of influence. And so, like, you know, we were trying to fool around and stuff like that, and it just kind of wasn't, quite happening, right? So I ended up taking a nap later, and then, after that, we went out to the Pecan Lodge, and then, you know, White Rock Lake and all that kind of stuff. And so, like, that was kind of, like, rounding out my trip in Dallas. At some point, the fire alarm went off when we were at the hotel. But, like, it was funny. Like, I'm a really heavy sleeper. So, like, by the time I, like, woke up and, like, was kind of, like, getting to the point where I was getting dressed, they turned off the fire alarm. So it was just really funny. I was just like, oh, okay, good thing this wasn't a real fire, because I would have been dead because I was just so tired. And then later on in the week, we went to this, like, arcade place, and it was really fun. That's, like, the kind of stuff that I love. I ended up meeting more of his family. I met his brother, his wife, their two kids, and, you know, they had made, his brother specifically, actually, who I really like, well, one of his brothers, he has two, but one of his brothers was just like, you should move to Dallas. Like, we could have a babysitter. Like, he, you know, he was like kind of joking, but you know, like that was the first time I'd like considered coming back to Dallas. Right. Like, I mostly wanted to go there just to kind of see, you know, what it was all about. And I did. Right. So it was a really fun trip overall. I went home. I remember as we were taking off, you know, he was saying, like, oh yeah, you know, I know it's like 80, 90 degrees right now, in January, but we're supposed to be getting snow. And like, it snowed the day after I left, which is really funny. But it was like a really light dusting, of it. And so like, I remember I took off, and as we were taking off from DFW, I remember I just started like, my heart just like sank, you know, it was just like leaving was so painful. And I was like, maybe I should move here. And like, I hadn't really mentioned that to Adam at that point, but I was like, yeah, maybe I should, right? Maybe I should come here. Like, I don't really want to be in Seattle anymore. I was like really craving something different, and Dallas was different in a lot of ways. It was the exact opposite of everything that Seattle was, right? Politically, like geographically, like pretty much in every conceivable way, Dallas was just the opposite, right? So I was thinking, yeah, maybe I could try something different. Maybe we could pursue something, right? Like, I love that guy. Like, he was just I was convinced was like the love of my life. And I knew that I wanted him. And I like had seen him interact with his little niece and nephew. And I was like, I want to have kids with this guy. I want to get married to him. Like, it was just like, there was just so much going on in my mind where I was like, I would regret not trying to pursue this, right? Like, I don't have really a whole lot tying me to Dallas, right? Like, before I left, well, actually, a couple years before, me and my dad had a conversation before he even got sick, where he basically said, you know, I know you want to move to Atlanta, because this was a couple years before that. And he was like, I hope you can just wait a couple of years. You know, the way he said it was, if you wait a couple of years, I'll be dead. I don't care what you do, but just wait until I die and then you can do whatever you want. So me and my dad kind of had that like agreement that I would just wait a couple of years. And, you know, after my dad died, then I can go do whatever I wanted and live my life and do all the wanderlust, all that, right? So I had that kind of in the back of my mind, and I knew that eventually I would want to move and do something else. My dad was very, very sick at this point, and so I was like, you know, it could be very possible that my dad is kind of on his way out, right? Well, he was on his way out. He was in hospice care, right? So I was like, I could feasibly move to Dallas in the next couple of months or maybe a year, right? So the plan was I was going to move after my lease was up in August, right? So that was about 8 months from that point. And I was like, that's fine, right? That works. And so that was kind of like, those were the seeds that were planted, and I started formulating kind of that plan in the back of my mind. But again, I hadn't made any like definitive decisions at that point. I just was thinking like, if I were to do this, this is when I would. So anyway, I fly home. I get back, I leave on January 8th. And then I think I had a day off from work. No, wait, I think I got back, I guess the 6th. So I think it was like, I had one day off of work and then I went back to work. Right. So I think I went back to work on the 8th, and then on the 9th, my dad passed away. So it was like the day after I got home. So 2 days after I got home, my dad passed away. So on the day before he died, I went to go see him. And I spent some time with him in hospice. And, you know, I remember my dad was sitting there. He wasn't really talking or anything like that. I think he had had a stroke shortly before he passed away. So I think he had lost his ability to talk. And I remember I was, you know, spending time with my dad, and I was just like, you know, I hope you feel better, Dad. I love you. I'll see you later. Right. And then he died the next day, cuddling with my mom. So it's kind of sweet in a way, but that timing of it, you know, like if I had stayed in Dallas a couple more days, I would have missed it and I would have been absolutely devastated. So I'm glad I got to see my dad, before he passed. But you know, he died a couple of days later after I got home, and that was kind of a sign from the universe, like, yeah, maybe I should leave and explore something else. You know, my dad, you know, while it's devastating that he's no longer there, he's also no longer in pain. And I felt like it would be a good time to separate from Seattle because there was a lot of pain attached to it now that my dad was no longer there. I didn't have a particularly close relationship with my mother at that point. You know, I was still kind of repairing our dynamic. So, you know, I was like, I kind of want to be done with Seattle right now. I want to go do something different and new. And so again, a couple of days after this, you know, seed had been planted in my mind, I was really starting to consider it. My dad had his funeral, so the day that my dad died, I actually had a comedy set, and it was actually probably one of the best sets I ever had, probably in my career of comedy, to date. It was one of the best sets I had. I got my sense of humor from my dad, and so I feel like in a way that was like a way that he was with me. So a couple days later, we had the funeral. My dad was cremated. So it was like a memorial service. And my grandpa had died shortly before, actually Christmas Day, my grandpa died. So I was just feeling like a lot of grief, and I decided I wanted to go up to Canada the next day. So I went up to Canada. I ended up getting stuck at the border. I guess they thought it was suspicious that I was just like a girl by myself going up to Canada. So they ended up confiscating my phone, my laptop, searching my car multiple times. I was at the border for about 4 hours. And to be fair, when they asked me what my plans were in Canada, I was just like, you know what? I was just going to play it by ear and just spend a couple days in Canada. You know, my parent, like, I have had a really rough week, and I was just really hoping to go up there and do something fun. I hadn't really planned it out yet, and that was suspicious as fuck, apparently. And you know, I hadn't really had a lot of experience with the border patrol, so like, I didn't think they would care, right? Like, I had a hotel booked, but that was about it, right? And so they like went through my phone, and then they started interrogating me. And, they had referenced a couple of messages that I had with Adam, and there were a couple messages with Ross. And so they were like, you have a boyfriend? And I was like, yeah, you know, he lives in Dallas, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, well, who's this Ross guy that you're talking to? And I was like, listen, like, I might not be a great girlfriend, but that doesn't make me suspicious in other ways. You know, like, they were really like hammering it in on that. And they were like, well, do you have any friends in Canada? And I was like, yeah, I have a couple. And like, I have a friend, Leon, who lives in Vancouver. And I was like, yeah, my friend Leon lives in Vancouver. I was gonna try and go see him. And they were just like, oh, well, why would you be seeing other guys? And I was like, I have guy friends. Like, I don't see that as really an issue. But anyway, so I got stuck on the border, and it was like a horrible experience. But they ended up letting me into Canada. And, you know, a lot of the suspicion that they had was the nature of the text that I had with other men. Even though I said I have a boyfriend, which I did. Yeah. And so I was talking to, I ended up telling Adam about this situation much later. He was just like, oh, I see. Like, they didn't even think you were a good girlfriend to me. Like, the Canadian Mounties or whatever were, like, suspicious and didn't think you were good to me, blah, blah, blah. And it was, like, a thing that he brought up later in conversation, like, while we were fighting. And it was just, like, this whole deal. But anyway, so I went up to Canada. I came back, you know, just kind of didn't have any issues getting back into the U.S., but whatever. So a couple weeks later, it was my birthday. And, you know, throughout the couple of weeks, Adam and I kind of started talking about me moving to Dallas. And again, the plan was that I was supposed to move in, you know, at the end of my lease in August. But then I decided, well, maybe I can just sublet for the last 6 months of my lease. And so my birthday, like the birthday weekend, was spent moving out and, you know, organizing a lot of my stuff and donating a lot of things and trying to find a person to sublet, which I ended up doing. So I can move in with my sister for the last couple months and then I could move to Dallas, right? Since I wouldn't have to worry about my lease. So I was basically in the process of doing that, over my birthday weekend, and then I moved in with my sister. So I, you know, Valentine's Day comes around. I had another trip planned out to go visit Adam. And, so it was a couple days before Valentine's Day, and it was like the weekend before. And it was very sweet. You know, he picked me up at the airport again. He brought me, purple roses and alstroemerias, which are like Inca lilies. Those are my two favorite flowers. And he said that he found a bouquet that had both of them and it was just like too serendipitous. So he, you know, got them for me. We went to my hotel, we got ready and then we were going to go to this fancy dinner. He hadn't quite started his job yet, or maybe he had just started it. You know, so I ended up paying for the very fancy dinner that we went out to for Valentine's Day. And it was at this really, really nice Italian restaurant. It was like Nora Jones used to play there. I wish I could remember the name of it. But anyway, so it was like a really nice part of town and, they had a piano player. It was very, very nice, very romantic. I got this like steak there and then he got something. It was like a stuffed chicken. I can't remember what it's called, but, my steak had a mushroom sauce and I'm allergic to mushrooms and I didn't know that. Right. So I took a bite of the steak and I immediately realized something was wrong. So my tongue and throat started swelling up and, you know, I had a glass of wine. Like I like physically had a glass of wine. I didn't drink it. But I started having a really bad allergic reaction, but it kind of like my tongue was swelling up. And so it almost sounded like I was slurring my speech because of like being tipsy. So, it was funny, like Adam, as soon as he realized, he was like, oh, she hasn't had any wine yet. He was like, oh my God, are there mushrooms in that? So I told them, I tried to explain to them that there were mushrooms in it and that I was allergic. So I asked them to send it back. And he was like, well, it's just trade food, right? You can have mine. And so I take a bite of his stuffed chicken and it's stuffed with mushrooms. So it was like, I had like a double dose of these mushrooms and I was having a really bad allergic reaction. I was like starting to get hives. It was very, very bad. And he was like, why don't you drink some wine? You know, we can still have a good dinner, blah, blah, blah. They'll get you a new steak, everything like that. So they brought me a new steak, which I'm pretty sure was the original steak that they had just like rinsed off. And which I'm like, whatever. I mean, food waste is real and I can get why they would have just brought me the same steak back. But anyway, so they brought me a steak, probably the same steak back. And so again, it was just like the dinner kind of turned into this like horrible thing. And so we paid, I paid, we went back to the hotel and then we proceeded to get into a fight. We ended up getting into a fight because Adam ended up going through my phone. I think I was like in the bathroom or something and, he was going through my phone and basically came in and like brought it to my attention and was like, what the hell is this? And it was me talking to Ross. And again, you know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I am innocent in that situation. It was entirely inappropriate for me to be talking to Ross. You know, I knew Adam didn't like him. You know, he didn't like him from, like, day one. Like, he told me as soon as he met him, he was like, that guy's trying to sleep with you. I fucking hate that guy. And it was always a point of contention in our relationship. But again, when, you know, Adam and I first got together, we weren't serious. We were seeing other people. He was seeing other people, right? Like, I'm not really a jealous person, so it's hard for me to, like, understand jealousy or that, like, insecurity. But, like, again, I didn't really see an issue with continuing to talk to Ross because, for one, he was in another state. Like, we weren't really officially together, and, like, we were doing a long-distance relationship, and, like, I had needs, and, yeah, that's incredibly selfish, but, like, that's where it was. Like, and Adam had even said, like, you know, let's not count it until, you know, you move up here or down here, right? So we were with kind of like an understanding that, like, yeah, we were seeing each other, but, like, nothing was really official yet. So I didn't really see a reason to, like, cut things off with Ross. And again, that was selfish. It was wrong, and it made him very uncomfortable, but I just kept doing it. Right. And part of it was because, like, Ross couldn't really take no for an answer. So even though I had tried to, like, shift things into more of a friend dynamic, he just didn't want that. Right. Like, he still wanted me in his life and he still wanted things to be romantic, but I didn't. So anyway, Adam, you know, sees that Ross had texted me asking me if I was okay because I told him about the allergies and, like, my, you know, allergic reaction at dinner. And so, yeah, we got into a huge fight. You know, Adam was like, I'm leaving. I don't want anything to do with you. Like, don't fucking talk to me. Like, all this stuff. And he just said a lot of really nasty, mean-spirited things. Like, he took the flowers that he got me and threw them in the trash just to make me upset. And, like, I was, like, trying to talk to him, and I was like, hey, like, let's talk about this. Let's talk about it. He's storming down the hallway. He storms out to his car, and I, like, follow him. And I was like, hey, let's talk. And, like, he gets into his car, and I was like, hey, and I, like, you know, I was kind of standing, like, between the door and the car frame. So he was, like, trying to close the door, and I, like, ended up jumping up. So it was, like, kind of where, like, the bottom of the car frame was. So he was, like, trying to close the door, and I was, like, on the car, and then he, like, started backing up, and I was like, oh my God, you know, like, I was basically, like, on the side of his car, and then I, like, jumped off, he closed the door and drove off. And I was just like, okay, whatever. And I was just like, fine, like, whatever. And again, like, he was like, I don't want anything to do with you, fucking all this stuff, we're over, we can't do this, right? And, like, again, I thought it was super unfair because, again, nothing was official yet, right? Like, you know, we weren't even living in the same state. How are we supposed to have a serious relationship, right? Again, I understand how immature that is, but that's where I was at the time, right? So I was only there for the weekend. So the next day I had, like, tried calling him. He didn't answer. I ended up going over to his parents' house. I took an Uber out there. I brought him flowers and I was talking to his mom. Like, she opened the door and I was like, hey, you know, is he home? And she's like, oh, he's in bed. Like, he's really, like, upset right now. And I don't think she knew that, like, we had broken up. So she let me in. And so I go into his bedroom and I was like, hey, I brought you flowers. And, like, I had just broken my phone by accident while I was, like, on my way over to his house. It was a whole deal. But anyway, I was just like, can we talk? And so we talked a little bit. And, you know, he was just like, you look really pretty, but, like, I can't deal with you right now. Like, I don't want anything to do with you. And I was just like, okay. Like, I just wanted to see you while I was here. I left the flowers for him. I think he called me an Uber or something. And I, like, went back to the hotel, right? And I just, like, bawled my eyes out. And I was just there, like, basically catatonic, laying in bed, incredibly upset for the rest of the day or the rest of the weekend, really. And then I had to leave for my flight. And so I go to the airport, and I think, like, I was able to get my phone to work or something, but I got my phone to work, so I went to the airport, and then I got on my flight, and I cried pretty much the entire flight there, back home. And, you know, I was just so heartbroken, and just even leaving Dallas to begin with, like, I felt like I was leaving everything behind, and, like, that I was losing everything in that moment, and it just kind of all came crashing down, and it just, he had such a tremendous potential to hurt me, and he did. And it was like, you know, I felt like the whole situation was unfair, and, like, I never intended to hurt him, and obviously he was hurt, and he was saying really hurtful things, and he was hurting me, and we were just both hurting, and we wanted, you know, like, it just felt like everything was falling apart. So, you know, again, I get back home. He made it very clear that he wanted nothing to do with me, right? So I was like, he's gone. That's it. Nothing's, you know, maybe I'll still move to Dallas, but for now, I'm just gonna, like, figure shit out when I get home. And, like, a week or two later, I ended up getting back together with Scott. We went on a date, to the zoo, I think. And then, you know, like, that was kind of going that direction. I kept seeing Ross, and so that was still going. You know, there was a point in dating Ross again, where, you know, he really wanted things to kind of go into a relationship, and I was like, I cannot handle a relationship right now. And so we basically, you know, I went on that date with Scott. I went on a couple dates with Ross. But then, like, a couple weeks later, to my surprise, we ended up reconciling, me and Adam. And then, he was like, listen, I can't do this if you don't move to Dallas, right? That was his, like, hard line. He was like, I can't do this long distance anymore. You need to move here sooner. I can't, right? So I started looking for jobs, in Dallas, and I got a couple job offers. They were both basically offered to me on the condition that I get there by April 1st, right? So this is the beginning of March. I have a month to move to Dallas. So I basically planned to leave the last week of March. So the weeks leading up to it, I was, like, packing everything, making sure that was all ready to go. I was already moved out of my apartment or house, really, living at my sister's house. So, like, everything was basically packed. I just needed to make sure I had the room for it in my car. Like, the weekend before I moved to Dallas, I went to Victoria with my mom, and we had, like, a girls' trip. I drove her up there, and then we came back, and then the next weekend, there was, like, an Alton Brown show, and that was my last night in Seattle before moving there, to Dallas, I mean. And then that night, Ross reached out to me after us not really talking for a couple weeks, because, like, after me and Adam had reconciled, I told him, like, listen, I'm moving to Dallas, I'm going to be with Adam, this is what's happening, I'm moving to Dallas, this is what's happening, and it's going to be at the end of the month, right? And then Ross basically reaches out to me the last night I'm in Seattle, and he calls me, like, late and begs me to stay. And I was like, no, I can't. Like, I'm moving to Dallas tomorrow morning. Like, you fucking wait until now to say something, right? And he's like, I can't stand the idea of you leaving. And he was like, come over. And so I go over to his house. We spend some time together. And I was like, I'm still leaving. I'm sorry. Like, it was probably torturous to him. And that wasn't right. I should have left him alone. But, like, you know, he was inconsolable. Like, he wanted me to come over, so I spent time with him. And the next morning, I got up and I drove to my sister's house, packed my car, and drove to Southern Oregon in the first day. The next day, I drove to Southern California, and the plan was to go down through California and then, you know, eastward, right, to Dallas. At the time, I didn't have my phone, and so I was basically doing it based on the GPS on my car. And I had already planned out everything, like, MapQuest style, like, printed it all out and everything. So, I had the, you know, hotels booked, everything like that. I had a basic phone, but it wasn't anything that could, like, basically could not do navigation really well. So I was doing it based on the navigation of my car. Anyway, so the second night, I stopped in Burbank, and then I ended up driving to St. George, Utah, then to Santa Fe the next night, and then on the last night, I ended up arriving in Plano, where Adam was living at the time, at 2 a.m., you know, he was like, when you get here, I'll like pick you up and carry you inside. And he's like, it'll be great. And it was at like 2 a.m. And I want to say it was on March 30th or maybe the 31st. But it was like, yeah, I think it was the 30th, but I arrived, or yeah, I guess it was the 31st. So I arrived at 2 a.m. And, you know, he picked me up and carried me inside. But, like, when I first got out of the car, I was so upset and, like, over it. Because I'd been driving for, like, 5 days, basically, at that point. And I was, like, over it. And he was like, well, that's disappointing. You know, like, it's the, you know, I'm the first thing you see. And you're like, oh, I need to go to bed. Like, I was just tired. And, like, I had had it. And it was funny because I wore the dress that was the last thing he saw me in Seattle, right? So I thought it'd be like a fun, like, full circle moment, right? So I wore the dress that he wore, or God damn it, I wore the dress that I wore when he was leaving to move to Texas. So I thought that would be a fun thing. And then, so yeah, we went inside, we went to bed. I had an interview either the next morning or the morning after that. And so I had two interviews at both companies that basically gave me a job offer in Dallas. I ended up picking between the two. You know, I ended up picking a job that was similar to the job I had in Seattle before I moved, failing to realize that I was bored out of my mind at that job, and I should have, you know, realized that before accepting basically the same job again. And the people that I was working for, it was a family-owned company, and it was owned by two brothers. One of them I got along well with, the other one I did not get along well with, and we would constantly butt heads. And so it was kind of a situation where, you know, they didn't really agree on anything. And so I was constantly given different direction from both of my bosses. And so I would get in trouble for doing something that the other boss told me to do, right? And I wasn't a snitch. I was like, okay, whatever, like, I'll just take it, right? So it was just like me and the other boss were constantly butting heads. My boss at that job was very, he didn't really believe in taking sick days. His logic was like, well, I don't take holidays, not even, you know, Memorial Day. He was like a, you know, in the Navy or something. And he was like, I'm a veteran and I don't even take Veterans Day. He didn't like believe in taking sick days off of work. He would like go to work sick. Like, he was just, you know, that kind of guy. He said that insurance was a scam. Like, he offered it obviously, but he's like, it's a scam. I don't think people should use it, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And he was also like, oh, and we open carry. So it was just like totally different than what I'd been used to. But I thought that's just kind of how things are in Dallas. Now that I work my job and my boss is wonderful, I just realized he's just an asshole and was just like, had all these crazy beliefs. And like, again, we didn't work well together. But anyway, so a couple weeks into my job, I ended up messing up my back really bad. So I had to take a couple days off work. And that created a situation at my job where my boss was like, oh, you're taking time off already? And I was like, well, I'm bedridden. Like, I can't get out of bed. And so it was funny because I ended up calling out on the 20th, which I realized was 420. And he already thought I was a stoner because I was from Seattle and, like, you know, a comedian, and I was just like, oh my god, like, he probably thinks I'm, you know, a friggin' taking time off for that reason, and it wasn't that. But anyway, so a couple of days after that, you know, like, I'd been bedridden for a couple of days, and then I was like, you know, I was still, I ended up talking to Ross again, and, like, I knew that Adam didn't want me talking to him, but I just, you know, he wouldn't really leave me alone, and I certainly didn't help things, so I was, like, texting him again, and he was just like, you know, I miss you, like, he was, like, sending me songs that made me think of, you know, that made him think of me and things like that. And then, you know, things were going okay though. You know, Adam and I were, you know, starting to date, like, officially, and we're trying to, like, you know, find a place to move in together. And, you know, we were living at his parents' house at the time. So, like, things were, like, kind of high stress, but, you know, at the same time, we were just kind of enjoying being around each other again. And, you know, things were chill. Late May, there was a work barbecue. It was like an employee appreciation thing. We had a mechanical bull there, very Texan, I know. And I ended up like falling off of it, and it like swung around and like hit me on my leg. So like I got gored by a mechanical bull, and I had this huge bruise. It lasted for like over 2 years, it lasted for over a year. And, you know, it's been a couple of years since then. You could still kind of see it in some lighting. But yeah, it was just crazy. So Adam went with me to that work thing, and he was just like, oh, I don't like your boss. And, so it was, you know, crazy. But, the day after that, I ended up going to, Adam's lab, and, we were looking at places to rent around the area. He worked at UT Southwest, which is, you know, basically across town. I worked in Garland, which is like kind of southeast of Dallas. And then at least I think it is. I don't know. It's on the other side, basically. So Adam didn't have a car at the time, so I was basically taking him to work and then going to work myself. And then, or he would drive from Plano to his job, get out of the car, I would get out and then drive, to my job, right? And then we would reverse it. So I would go pick him up, after I was off of work. So that's basically how we were doing it. A couple weeks after going to his lab for the first time. Also, it was really cool to go see him, like, kind of in that scientific setting, and, like, take a look at, you know, the research and stuff he was doing. I really liked being in his lab. It was really cool to just kind of see him in that environment, and he was very proud of the work that he was doing. You know, but I remember he had made some comment, like, oh, yeah, you know, like, it's kind of bullshit. Like, I'm doing, like, life-saving research, and, you know, they're trying to, like, develop vaccines, I believe. And he was working with a C. elegans, which is a type of worm. So, anyway, I think they were working with, like, varicella or something like that. I don't remember. But, anyway, so he was like, I'm doing this life-saving research, and I make, like, this much money, and you make more money than me, and you just do an office job. Like, he was always really upset that I made more money than him. And to be fair, like, he was unemployed for a decent portion of when we were first dating. So, like, I had always kind of made more money than him just by default. But, you know, now I was working a different job, and, you know, I got, like, basically a $10,000 pay increase in moving to Dallas. But, I also, after I started my job, my boss that I didn't get along with was like, oh, but that's with benefits. So I was like, oh, so I'm only really getting $5,000 more, which was like still nice, but I was just like, that's bullshit. Like, I thought it was going to be more than that, but whatever. So, you know, after that, you know, we were babysitting for his brother and their two kids. And it was really cool because I could see Adam, like, you know, interact with his little niece and nephew more, and then we were babysitting for them, right? But, like, at that point, he kind of had, like, checked out from it and was like, oh, so you're gonna babysit the kids, right? And I was like, oh, Like, you know, I kind of saw this, like, side of him where I was just like, oh, like, if we did have kids together, which, again, was kind of, like, something at the forefront of my mind because I was, like, trying to build a future with this guy. I was like, this is what it would be like. Like, he, I thought he was very, like, attentive and sweet and, like, yeah, he's, like, active in their lives. But, like, as soon as it was me and him, I realized, like, he kind of pushed all that, like, child rearing, babysitting responsibilities onto me. So it ended up being like I was babysitting the kids and he was just there on his phone. And I remember thinking like, I can't marry this guy. Like I can't build a future with him if he's not even like going to be involved in taking care of other people's kids. I was really good with those kids. I really miss them actually. Like him, sometimes I miss him, but those two kids, like his niece and nephew, were just so darn cute. They were so stinking cute. And I was like, you know, they even looked like him. So it was like kind of like our kids in a way. And I just really loved being around them. And, you know, that is one thing that I do miss, you know, from that breakup. But anyway, so a couple days after that, I ended up getting really sick. I think it was like, I had some really bad ear infection, I think, but I was really sick, and then, like, oh, and I had strep, that's right, so I had strep throat, or, like, tonsillitis, I don't know, it was one of the two, and then I had an ear infection, so I was, like, really sick, bedridden, and, like, Adam, like, brought me food, and, like, breakfast in bed, and, like, you know, he's being real sweet to me, but there was a point where he, like, since I was in bed, like, he was like, hey, can I borrow your car? And I was like, sure. And then I was, like, kind of half awake. And then I realized, like, oh, actually, I was trying to, like, go do stuff this weekend. But he was gone for, like, 48 hours. Like, gone. And he didn't answer his phone. He didn't, like, you know, text me back or anything or tell me what he was doing or where he was. And I was just like, what the fuck, man? Like, I had stuff I wanted to do. And he was like, well, you were sick. I'm like, yeah, but I was, like, starting to feel better. And, like, I wanted to have my car. But the point is, you were not respecting me or my property or my time. And it was obviously an issue. And I told him, I want to break up. And he was like, well, we can't break up. You know, like, stay with me. Stay with me. And he was like, crying, like, begging for me to stay, and I was like, fine, like, I'll stay, whatever, and I was like, I was just so upset about the whole situation, and he just didn't understand, right, so we were looking for a place for us, right, because, again, we were still staying at his parents' house, and I was just like, you know, we were trying to find a place that was, like, in between our work, and that particular area, like, between our two jobs, you know, it was, like, a really nice area, but it was expensive, right? I wanted a place that I could, you know, that I liked being in. I'm kind of a homebody, so I was, like, I want a place that I am willing to invest that money in something that, like, in a place I'm comfortable being in. And he was like, I want to get the cheapest place possible and was unwilling to compromise, right? Even though I would be paying, like, more in rent anyway. So he was just like, well, if we're going to get a place together, like, we have to agree. It has to be cheaper. It has to be more in my budget. And I had found a couple properties that I just absolutely loved. I was absolutely in love with. And he basically, like, there was one that I was so in love with. And he was like, no, I don't want to live in that one. And this was like, you know, he then made the suggestion that we should move in with his friend who was his coke dealer at the time. And I said, absolutely not. I don't think that's an appropriate thing for us, especially because I don't want to be around that. And I certainly don't want to have people coming and going at all hours. Or, you know, like, if something were to happen, like, if he got busted, we would be there and we could be implicated in that, right? Even if we weren't participating or anything like that. And I was like, and I don't really like that you're doing coke. So, like, why would I want you to be like, to have that easy of access to it. And he was like, oh no, he's going to chiropractor school. He's going to turn his life around, blah, 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 blah. And I was just like, no, I don't think that's appropriate. I don't want to do that. And then he basically called me selfish and said that, like, I, like, was being unreasonable and all that. And I was like, we're just going to disagree on that. So anyway, so we kept looking at a couple different properties, and again, like, we couldn't agree on anything. And there was a point where, you know, we were getting so stressed out with everything, and, you know, tensions were kind of getting high, stress was getting high for us. There was a point where we were, like, you know, getting intimate with each other, and, like, there was a show playing in the background, and, like, I remember there was a time where he basically started, like, ignoring me for the show. And that was a thing that, like, kept happening. And I was just like, I don't think this is working. You know, so I was at the point where I was thinking, like, we're gonna break up. And, like, again, I tried breaking up with him, and he begged me to stay with him. And then Ross tells me he's going to be coming into town. And at the time, you know, things were not going well with us. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, if you're going to be in Dallas, I'll come see you. And then he's like, you know, are you sure? Are you sure? And I was like, you know what? On second thought, maybe you shouldn't. And I told him, like, you know, he said, well, I went ahead and got the tickets, so I'm coming to Dallas. And he's like, and you're going to see me, right? And I was like, no. Like, I really want to try and rebuild things with Adam. I know things were back and forth, and I want it to work, right? So Ross ends up showing up in Dallas, and I didn't really know how to ignore that. And, like, the day before, or, like, a couple days before that happened, I ended up getting fired from my job, which is fair, because me and my boss were not getting along. I had already called out a couple days in the few months that I was there, and, I was late. There were a couple different times where I was late. Usually it was because of traffic and going across one side of town to the other, but honestly, I was so over it at that job that I didn't really care. But anyway, so, you know, Ross comes into town, and, you know, Adam was upset because I got fired. And again, like, I don't think I was a great match for that particular work environment, because we just fundamentally did not agree on, you know, customer service, even. Like, my boss was like, we have their money, we don't need to be nice to them after we get their money. And I was like, that's not a good business practice. You should still, you know, be nice to them. There was a point where there was a customer who bought her parents' house, so she had paid for foundation repair. And even though her parents' name was on the deed, but she was the one that paid for it. So basically my boss was like, well, if you need a repair on the repair that you got, like, we have a warranty under your parents' name. But since you were the one that paid for it, but your name's not on the deed, there's nothing we can do for you. Like, we can do, like, another repair, but it would cost, like, thousands of dollars, or, you can go somewhere else. And I was like, well, you know, she did pay the money ahead of time. Basically, my other boss was like, yeah, we should help her. And then they were disagreeing on that situation. And then I was like, I think we should help her, and instead of make her go through the process again. And they were like, no. Like, my other boss was like, no. And that was kind of the situation that brought it to a head. He sent me home the day before he fired me. And I kind of knew that I was probably going to get fired because of that situation. So I was, like, looking for other jobs, applying to a bunch of jobs, like, trying to find something else. And, so anyway, Adam was upset with me, so I decided to go see Ross. And again, Ross is like, you're going to see me because I'm in town. I came out here to see you. And so I went and saw him. You know, we hung out at the hotel. He was telling me how much he missed me. And, you know, again, I know it was inappropriate, and I felt like I didn't know what else to do in that situation. It was nice to just see someone else that wasn't Adam, that wasn't upset with me. And, like, even that night, like, I went to go see him. Adam wanted to go out with his friends, so I dropped him off at the bar, went to go see Ross at the hotel, and then came back and picked him up. But, like, you know, even when I went to go pick up Adam at the bar, he was just, like, you know, really upset with me still, and I was just like, ugh, fuck this, you know? Like, I was just so over it. And, like, Ross was saying he was gonna, like, come track me down and, like, figure out where I was and, like, show up at Adam's parents' house if he had to. And I was like, that's not, that would just ruin everything. So I was thinking I would just be able to go see him, like nothing would happen, and then he would go back to Seattle and then that would be it, right? Like, he was like inconsolable at that point, and I knew that the only way to really the only way to really placate him in that situation was to go see him. So I felt like my hands were tied. I had no other choice. The next day, I think it was like a Saturday, again, he's inconsolable. And he was like, you're going to come see me, or I'm going to come find you, blah, blah, blah. And he was just acting crazy. So I was out running errands, and I was like, fine, I'll go see Ross at the hotel again. So I went to go visit him again. And again, I told him, like, listen, like, this has to end. Like, I'm trying to make things work with Adam. Things aren't going great, but, like, I don't want to lose him, right? Like, I want to try and make things work here in Dallas. And so I, you know, had that kind of conversation with Ross, and I was like, listen, like, we can't keep doing this. And I was like, I'm not even supposed to be talking to you. And then you show up here, and, like, yeah, I know I initially put that thought in your head that you should come visit, but then I told you not to, and you still showed up. We can't do this, right? And then, so, Ross ends up going back to Seattle. He's upset and, like, swears off Dallas forever, basically. And then, a couple days later, Adam was going through my phone, and he went through my directions history on Google Maps. Apparently you can do like a timeline, and he saw that I went to this hotel twice. And then, so he basically assumed that like shit had happened. And like, you know, I think he was right to assume that. Like, again, like, we had such a complicated history, me and Ross, and like, I was seeing him when I was seeing Adam, so, like, even the thought of me seeing him was a thing. And he was just like, you went there to a hotel to go see him, what did you think was gonna happen? And I was like, well, I had no intention of sleeping with him, right? So Adam was getting ready for work at this point, and he was just like, we have to end this. Like, you need to figure out something, you need to go somewhere else, we can't do this, right? And so, like, I thought it was stupid because I had just tried to break up with him and he wouldn't let me. But now, on his terms, he wanted to break up. And I was like, fine. But I was like, do you need a ride to work? And he was like, yeah. So we drive to work, and he was just like, you know, I didn't have anywhere to go after that, right? So we go to work, and he was just like, I don't want to do it anymore. And he, like, you know, he heard me out. Or, you know, he wanted to hear me out and kind of see what I had to say about it. And I was like, you know, I had basically just started coming around to the idea of moving in with his friend who was dealing coke at the time. And I was like, listen, like, I'm willing to try and make these work. And, you know, I'm trying to compromise with you. And I know it was wrong to go see Ross at the hotel, but, like, I didn't want anything to happen. He was saying he was going to show up and it would have been a situation. And I was like, I know that you would have fucking killed him if he showed up at your house. And he's like, yeah, I would have. And he was basically like, I don't want to see you anymore. I don't even want you to be in Texas. Like, get the fuck out of here. And so I went home that day, started packing up all my stuff, basically got everything and left. You know, I didn't really know anyone else in Texas. My mom's best friend from high school, her sister lived in outside of Fort Worth. And so I called her and was like, hey, can I come stay with you? And she was like, sure. So I stayed with her, And basically, her name's Irene, so she's, like, basically my aunt, but she's not. But, you know, Adam had just been so nasty, and he had just said so many horrible, mean-spirited things to me at that point. I was very, very, in a very dark place. Like, I was, like, suicidal, and, like, I didn't tell anyone that, and I certainly wasn't going to tell Adam that. But, you know, like, he was just, like, I was just, like, I lost everything. Like, I lost Ross. I lost Adam. I moved here for him, basically. And, like, I lost my fucking job, like, the week before that. And, like, nothing was working out. Dallas was a mistake. It was just, like, all these horrible things I started thinking. And I was, like, I need to leave, right? So I was staying at my Aunt Irene's house. And then at that point, Adam was, like, yeah, maybe you can come back. Maybe you can work it out. Things like that. And I was just like, no, like, I can't, we can't do it. And he was like, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't. So I start driving. I had borrowed money, from a friend and started driving basically so I wouldn't do anything crazy or like kill myself basically. And like, that's not how I would typically respond to a relationship ending. Usually I'm the one ending it. And I just think in that moment, I was so heartbroken. And he was just saying like the meanest stuff. Like he was saying really fucked up shit. And it was really, it kind of ruined any chance of us getting back together. But like, you know, it was just like everything was kind of falling apart and it just wasn't working out. And I was like having to come back to Seattle with my tail between my legs because I couldn't figure anything out. And like, I was just in such a dark space and I was like, I just need to drive. Right. Or I'm going to go crazy. Right. And so the first night I reached Albuquerque, I was so distraught. Like I couldn't eat. I was basically drinking water the whole time, but like I couldn't eat or do anything. And so I reached Albuquerque. I ended up staying in this like random little hotel, but it was like so gross. I didn't even want to sleep in the bed. So I ended up like sleeping out in my car. And then I kept driving. I got to Salt Lake City. My Aunt Irene's son, lives there. So I stayed at their house and his wife, Erin, I believe is her name, she had seen that I was just, like, so tired and, like, upset, and I kind of told her the situation, and then she made me a burrito, and that was, like, the first food I'd eaten in, like, I don't know, a couple days, and, like, again, I had never experienced, like, a period of depression like that where I was, like, not eating. But, oh my God, I don't know if it was just because I was, like, probably starving to death or what, or it was just that act of kindness, but it was, like, the best burrito I ever had in my whole life. So, it was just, like, such a sweet thing, and she was just such a sweet lady, and I, you know, stayed the night with them, and then, you know, they had some kids, and I was, like, hanging out with them and their family, and then the next day, I kept driving and, I ended up reaching Seattle. And you know what? The first thing I did when I got back to Seattle is I went to Ross's place. And that was wrong of me, but you know what? He was more than happy that I was there. And I think it was like his plan to break me and Adam up had in a roundabout way worked. And I was back there and, you know, I ended up spending what would have been Adam and I's anniversary since we had broken up a few days shy of that with Ross. And, you know, I'm not proud of it. You know, it was a really fucked up thing, but again, I knew Adam and I were never getting back together and I was upset and I was hurt and I don't know. It's one of those situations where I should have been better to him, but he wasn't super great to me either, especially in that moment. And, you know, I was like, I felt almost entitled to do something to hurt him in that situation. And I knew that, being with Ross would have hurt him, and it was petty and it was immature and it was wrong, but that's what I did. And I, again, had been so tremendously hurt by Adam that the rest of it didn't matter. I just wanted to be out of Texas. I just wanted to be out of his life. And I was. And I basically ensured that that happened in that moment by going to see Russ as soon as I got back to Texas. Or as soon as I got back from Texas and was in Seattle. So that's how I'm going to end this portion of it. Again, I'm not super proud of how that situation worked out in moving to Texas the first time, but that's what we'll get into on the moving to Texas the second time. I appreciate you guys listening, and on to part 3. Bye!